Now playing.
Why so serious?
What is the Matrix?
You ever dance with the devil in the pale moonlight?
What's in the box?
You like scary movies?
What does Marcellus Wallace look like?
You talking to me? You talking to me?
Movie reviews in 20 Qs.
Hello, good people, and welcome to the podcast Movie Reviews in 20 Qs, the show where we like to review a movie by asking 20 weird and wonderful questions about it. Normally we have three hosts, but this week, I was only able to convince one person. But just like my sex life, it's always good when we've got at least one person there. Stacey, how are you, Stacey?
One other person. I'm great. You, hopefully it's mostly me is the one other person.
Well, occasionally I do have Mrs. Pamela and her five daughters, but that's enough of that conversation. So, long-time fans of the show, got a bit of an announcement for this episode. As you guys would have seen by the title, we're doing two films, aren't we, Stacey?
Yes, we are. It's very exciting. I think the reason for this is neither of us could be bothered talking about either of these movies for an entire 20 questions.
Spoiler alert about our opinions on this film, Stace.
So we decided to condense it down and minimise the pain.
Sweet. And now to decide what we're going to do first, we're going to flip a coin and see which film we're going to do first. So here we go. Wait.
Oh, it's spinning.
Heads for tags, tails for I feel pretty. And it's heads. It's tag.
Whoop, whoop.
Tag, you are the winner. So basically, yeah, we're going to do two comedy films that came out this year. The one is the Amy Schumer starring film I Feel Pretty, but first up is Tag, starring Ed Helms, John Hamm, Jeremy Renner, Leslie Bibb, Rashida Jones. Who else we got in that? Jake Johnson.
Isla Fisher.
Oh, yeah.
Hannibal Buress.
Oh, I love Hannibal Buress.
Oh, same.
But, let's having a just quick squiz at the reviews for Tag here. IMDb have this at 6.6 out of 10. Rotten Tomatoes have this at 55%. And Metacritic at 56%. Not often we see Metacritic topping Rotten Tomatoes, eh, babe?
No.
Oh, that's something different. Anywho, Stacey is a score out of 10,000. Touches on the body. What would you give Tag?
I would give this 4,922 tags. Very, very borderline. I was just contemplating whether to tip over the 5,000 or not. I think not.
Oh, that's ruthless.
What about you, Sam?
Oh, come on, Stace. At least four or five times during this film, I did get a loud squawk of what's typically known as Stacey laughter out of you, didn't we?
Yeah, we did, but we'll get into that later. That was basically the Hannibal Buress one-liners sprinkled throughout, which maybe he was ad-libbing because it didn't sound like they came from the writer of this movie.
Interesting. So for me, this was a recommendation from Paul and Wayne over at the Countdown podcast that you guys have heard me guest on their episodes, and we've had Paul on our Thing episode. They sort of raved about this movie pretty hard on their recent episode, The Top 10 Last 10. And you know what? I really enjoyed it.
Did you, Sam?
I don't reckon these reviews are really sort of reflective of how good this film is. I'm going to give it like about 7,672.
Wow, okay.
Yeah, like it's a solid comedy for me. It's very rare that you get a comedy that I'd put in the 8 or 9,000s. So that's sort of reflective of how we score these things, I score these things.
I'm going to have to listen to Paul and Wayne's podcast and get educated on this movie. Maybe.
Are you starting to think that you might have watched a completely different film from
Yep, maybe.
And that maybe we even watched a completely different film while in the same room together?
Yeah, maybe.
So yeah, as I said at the start of the podcast, what we do is we review a movie by asking 20 weird and wonderful questions about it. But obviously, because we're doing two films, we're going to do 10 questions each. We are going to do the same 10 questions, 10 of our usual questions that we can apply to any film that we've got. You know, we've got a bit of a list of those, and we've picked these 10. We've got our Patreon question in there as well, and we've got a question that was also submitted by one of our patrons that we just throw in there for a bit of a laugh.
Before we get into the questions, let's hit people with the plot.
Oh yeah, sorry, I was about to skip all over that. Yeah, so what is the plot of the film Tag for those that are not going to go see the film?
And also, just to clarify whether or not we watch the same film.
Yeah, that's a good
just
point.
To confirm. Okay, so childhood friends Jerry, Callahan, Randy, Sable and Hoagie have been competing in the same game of tag for 30 years. When Jerry gets married, he attempts to retire from the intense annual game without ever being it, causing the other four to band together and go to extreme lengths to finally tag him. So it's the same movie?
Yeah, it is. That's exactly the same film. And it's like, for a guy, just a typical dude, I think this is like an awesome film. And I think maybe like this is where critics and other people don't get this, is for most guys out there, they've got a good group of friends they've known for their entire life that they still talk about the same stories. You know, maybe they get a little bit different, or they get a little bit worse or bigger, or, you know, in my case, I exaggerate the shit out of everything that we did at high school or something like that. But you've still got that same group of stories, the same rules and all those sorts of social constructs that go on whenever you get together. And I think this film reminds me especially of that, like of a good group of friends and all the stupid shit we get up to. So I think it maybe touches a soft spot on my penis. So yeah. Mm. There's not too many soft spots on that thing. Anywho, should we get into the question?
Yes, absolutely.
Excellent. So yeah, compliment sandwich. One thing good, one thing bad, and one thing good about this film, Stacey. And good luck to you in finding two things good, because your face is blanking.
Okay, I'm just going to...
She's a blank man.
Okay, so straight out of the gate, John Hamm is the first one good thing.
You've got a massive white on for John Hamm, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I love him in most things that he's in. I feel his character in this movie was a little thin, you know, in terms of not much substance.
Yeah.
But anyway, whatever. He was in it. That was awesome. The bad thing about this movie is...
Drum roll, please. Oh, she's now currently pulling out what looks like an encyclopedia-sized stack of papers. Just keep it to one thing, hero.
Yeah, okay. I don't know if it's a trope or whatever about the wedding. And always in these kind of comedies, there's got to be a wedding and something's got to go wrong. I thought they could have rested it on something slightly different, a different situation.
Right, right.
So then my final good thing is, just one more bad thing before I move on to my good thing, is come on, Isla Fisher, you can actually be a really funny, good actress. Why choose all these crazy chick roles? Be as good as you actually are, if you know what I mean. And my final good thing is, yep, it's got to be those one-liners from my favorite thing to come out of Broad City. Hannibal.
Not Abby
Berius.
Niner.
Well, yeah, they are the solid, but to come out of it and to act in other movies and things like that, I think this is my favourite performance from a Broad City actor.
Broad City being an amazingly weird and bizarre comedy that we both enjoy. It's a comedy that when I watched with Stacey, I was like, there's no way Stacey would enjoy this stuff, and she loves it.
What about you, Sam? What's your compliment sandwich for Tag?
My compliment sandwich is, one of the best parts is the fact that Jeremy Renner throughout the film has this Sherlock Holmes-like ability to read the situation and to see how they're going to tag him and all that sort of stuff. He's a sleuth. Like, he's Sherlock Holmes, he's Jason Bourne, he's next level. And it's awesome. It's absolutely awesome. My bad thing, and I'm surprised Stacey didn't bring this up, is there's a couple of superfluous characters. They don't need to be in there. They're sort of ram-jammed in to try and...
Yes.
One of it is the Wall Street... Like, we discover at the end that, yes, it is based on a Wall Street Journal article. And so they basically come up with this bizarre premise in order for this Wall Street journalist to go along with them to, you know, just pack up your bags and sweet, I'm out of here. I'm just going to go on 2 weeks leave while following these guys around. Bizarre.
She did not have a reason for being in any scene. She was just standing there like a dork for most of it.
It would have been better if she had found out about this game and then was just like, hey, I heard about this game, heard about how you guys play it. I'd like to follow you guys around. You know what I mean? Like, if they'd found another plot device to put her in there, or even just scrap her.
Yeah, just scrap her, and her article is based on their retelling of it, the events.
Yeah, or she could be one of their wives, and she's just like at a low point trying to write an article and just came up with this is the thing.
Mm, yeah.
And finally, my favorite thing about this film is the mystery of it. Like, you never really do know exactly what is going to happen. Like Jeremy Renner's character, Jerry, has just got it so figured out from start to finish that it's like a good murder mystery. You're wondering what the fucking is happening.
Yeah, or what's actually true and what's false, and are they just part of the Truman Show? Is the wedding even real? I would have been happier had the wedding been a complete fake.
Yeah, exactly. Another thing too is I got to give the film its dues. It had the balls to fake a miscarriage, which I don't think I've ever seen done in a film before.
Yeah. Very questionable.
Very questionable. But that moves us on to question number two. What is it, Stace?
This is our Patreon cue from Phil Joynson. What object would you definitely want or not want to be from this movie.
Little known fact, Phil Joynson is actually the sexiest man on the face of the planet. And if you too want to become the sexiest man on the face of the planet, why not become one of our $5 Patreons and get your question inserted into us, into our questions, into our questions every week. What object would I definitely want or not want to be? I've got a bit of a crush for Rashida Jones. So her apparel.
She is very
bright red lipstick.
She's very stylish always and in this movie as well. So good choice, Sam.
I'm going to try and leave that as less creepy as possible. What about you, Stace?
So there's an object in this film I wouldn't want to be, and that is a log.
A log?
That's correct. In the scene near the end of the movie.
A log?
Where they are in the forest and they've cut down a tree, created this elaborate log trap. Similar to the log that we see in the Predator movie, where Arnie traps a predator and whacks him with a log.
Oh, yeah.
As it's swinging down from the trees. I just don't want to be involved in this game of tag. Therefore, I do not want to be a log.
You don't want to be swinging, minding your own business and then swinging through the jungle and smoking Jake Johnson in the chest and giving him a concussion or whatever?
No way.
Really?
Yeah.
Weren't you telling me that you really want to smoke Jake Johnson? Wasn't that what you were saying?
No. Wasn't he smoking the entire movie?
Oh, that's right.
Anyway?
You said you really wanted to smoke the stuff Jake Johnson had. Now it makes sense. No. That's right. You're like, whoa, that stuff looks awesome, man.
Yeah, that sounds like something I'd say.
You're living in opposite land at the moment. Might as well just move us on to question number three, right?
Yeah.
Which character from this film just clearly needs to get laid?
Chili, Jake Johnson's character that we were just talking about. He has the hots for Rashida Jones's character, Cheryl. They had a crush on each other at high school or in the early 20s or whenever. And there's always been a bit of competition between him and John Hamm's character, Bob Callahan. So, I mean, Chili, he's down and out. He's the one who seems to have the least going for him in his life. He's moved back with his dad. He's just smoking dope and not really doing a lot. So, you know, I feel bad for him. He needs something to brighten up his day. What about you, Sam?
Easy answer is the other one that you mentioned. John Hamm's character, Bob Callahan. Now, don't look at me with those little doe eyes. Don't offer yourself as tribute here, Stace.
Hey.
John Hamm, if you're listening, fuck you, pal. You stay away from my ginger princess.
Weirdo.
You stay the fuck away from him, John Hamm. I'm going to make you into a roast pork.
I bet he's never heard that before.
You're going to be a pulled pork sandwich, John Hamm.
You're going to pull John Hamm? Is that what you're saying? You
I'm
going to
pull
right
John Hamm's pork, pork sword. Great. I have walked into John Hamm's pork sword. I can't believe I have.
So maybe it's just
better
maybe
than backing into
Sam
it, I suppose.
Sam needs to clearly hear that. Okay, moving right along. Question number four. If you were a recruitment consultant, what job would this movie be suitable for?
Definitely taking care of kids, like a, you know, summer holiday camp sort of thing, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Like, did you ever get that happen to you when you were a kid where your mum was like, I've had right enough of you, get the hell out of my house, and then she takes you down to some camp and then you know, they have to ring her and be like, you got to come back and pick up your son, we aren't actually a camp. Did you ever get that?
No. No.
Oh, okay. What about you?
This movie would be perfect to be a murder mystery night event company.
Oh, like a host or something.
Yeah, that's right. Like what we had in game night. Twists and turns. You never really know what the actual story is and what's real and what's not. So that's the job I think it would be suitable for.
Shit, that's a good pick, Stace. How'd you come up with that one?
Oh, I don't know. These just things just come into my ears sometimes.
Things just come into your ears.
Oh, my God.
What the hell are you on about? Anywho, that just moves us on to the next question. We won't sit around pondering that pleasant image. Question number five. What subplot from this film would make for its own awesome spin-off movie?
I think this is a really hard one because in this movie, there isn't a lot of subplot. It is just the plot of the movie. You know a little bit about the characters, but you don't really care about them that a great deal. So I'm going to go with the main subplot that we could see, and that is the Isla Fisher, Ed Helms marriage. So this is like a prequel. How did they meet? And how is such a straight guy going out with a crazy chick?
I'm glad you see the prequel because the sequel is a movie about a dude battling cancer by the sound of it.
Oh, yeah, no. We don't want to know that. We want a prequel going, how did they get together? Weird.
Fair enough.
It's kind of like you and me.
Not the only one that wonders how we got together, Stacey. I've received many texts, DMs, emails. Most people don't even comment on the show. They just comment on our relationship. Oh, just kidding. Okay, this is really hard because all of these characters seem to live some like depressing ass lives, man. Like one of them, Ed Helms, is dying from cancer and, you know, just lives completely living for this game. John Hamm is head of a successful company, but he suffers from anxiety. Chili has been divorced and lives with his dad and smokes weed all the time. Isla Fisher is just absolutely insane. Sable has mental health issues and is like seeing a counselor about it. It's really hard to pick one of these guys. And then Jerry is like a recovering alcoholic. So,
but is that a cover? I don't think he was an alcoholic. I think that was a ploy.
I thought he was legit serious about that.
But wouldn't it be interesting to follow him and find out how he got to this Sherlock Holmes level of...
Yeah, let me into something that gives a decent enough answer for this. An origin story for Jerry. Where did he learn all these secret powers? How did he come up with the ability to be able to read any situation and find a way out of it? And for what other purposes does he use these powers?
Wow, that sounds a heck of a lot more exciting than the Hawkeye origin story. And I was wondering while I was watching this movie.
Putting a garbage bin on my head and banging it repetitively with a frying pan sounds more interesting than the flippin' Hawkeye movie.
Well, I was thinking maybe he was running around filming tag and that's why he couldn't be in the Infinity War. Is that what happened?
Yeah, sure. Playing tag. That's it. That's the true Hawkeye origin story.
Mm.
Here to hear first, Tag is now part of the MCU.
Anyway, question number 6. What deep philosophical debate arose in you during this film, Sam?
Well, the obvious one is, what level or extremity would I go in order to convince my friends that they shouldn't tag me? Because as we mentioned, they went to, you know, they're faking things, they're dressing up in outfits and all that sort of stuff. Like, how far would I push it to not get tagged? Or to tag people.
Mm. And would you apply for a job as a janitor at your friend's multinational company just so you could roll into the conference room while he was having an interview?
You know how much I clean up around the house. Could you imagine me cleaning for someone for minimum wage?
Yes, but this guy didn't do any cleaning. He just got hired. He just talked the talk.
That's true. He gave himself away too. That's what I found a bit bizarre, was he went straight in there. Could have walked up behind him and gone tag.
Yeah.
And made it real subtle, but instead he goes in there and makes a fucking jackass of himself.
Yeah, that's what's got me off on the wrong foot with this entire movie, because I thought, come on, is this entire movie going to be so clumsy as this first opening sequence?
Yeah, yeah.
So my debate is, I'm wondering what Isla Fisher's motivation for all of this is. She's really, really into this game of tag that she can't even play in. And she is kind of like an assistant to Hoagie to try and help him out and help out the entire crew. So by the end of the movie, it does unravel potentially why she's so involved in this year's game.
I was about to say,
to support her husband, who may not be around for the next game of tag.
Yeah.
But then I started thinking about my life and thinking about all the crazy things I do to support things that you like doing.
You aren't an enabler, Stacey.
And now I'm wondering why.
Oh, damn it.
Kind of like this podcast. Like 2 years ago when we first got this up and running, I honestly never thought I would still be here. I thought I would have been replaced long ago with someone far better.
Well, it's because you're the star of the show, Stacey. You are. Everyone loves you.
Oh,
we all think
Sam.
You're great. Every single one of the voices in my head thinks you're amazing.
And that's
except
a lot.
For one of them, and ooh.
I don't want to hear that voice.
If I listened to him, I would be in jail. Next question. Okay, so question number 7. What quote from this film would be the most inappropriate thing to say after you've finished making love to your partner?
Well, I knew that I was doomed as soon as I heard this line in the movie.
Killing me intrigued.
It's going to be repeated often in this house, not from my mouth. Ever. This is probably the only time you'll ever hear this words. Isla Fisher's character, Anna Molloy, at one stage says, "Suck my tiny ginger balls." So that...
Oh, Ginger Princess, that is perfect.
Oh, yes, I knew you would like that.
Oh, Good work, Stacey.
What about you, Sam? What's your one-liner?
Okay, so my line that I would definitely not use after making love to my partner is to finish and then look at her and go, I think your dad would have really wanted you to be it. Look at that creeped out face.
Yeah, that is not a good time to say that line. Okay, so question 8. How would you incorporate Nicolas Cage into this movie?
I would have him as Lou, the bartender, who has a quite prominent role in the film, and he loses his shit quite a few times. Great opportunity, great potential for a massive freak out from Nick Cage.
Yeah, to have a tantrum because he's not included in the game of tag. I'm going to pull Nick Cage straight out of those opening scenes of Face Off and just have him as the wedding celebrant in his, you know, his kind of like Castor Troy black cape singing in the choir outfit.
You want Castor Troy as a wedding celebrant? Serious?
And then it would be even funnier because when Ed Helms' character jumps out of the back row and runs up to tackle them and gets the celebrant, he'd be tackling down Nick Cage.
Yes. Oh, damn it. Well done, Stace. That is perfect. Moves us on to the next question. Now, Tara Mihalik, a good fan of the show, hello out there to you and your amazing family in Colorado. Anywho, one question that she suggested is, which three characters from this film would you want to rescue you from a kidnapper? Now, well, we're probably going to have the same one, right? We're both going to want Jerry.
You can have Jerry.
Whoa, I'll take Jerry. Who would you have? Let's have a little draft here. Who would you take?
Ed Helms.
You're going to take the guy that's currently very dire condition. Okay, sweet.
But prior to that, he put his body on the line and went above and beyond in most situations.
That is true. I am going to take Leslie Bibb's character of Susan Rollins, who can fake a baby, who is a very talented actress, who'll be able to talk her way into different places.
I'm going to go with Isla Fisher's character, Anna Malloy, Hoagie's wife, because she is, like you say, a great enabler, and she would go above and beyond also to help rescue me.
The woman that at one point tried to waterboard Thomas Middlechurch in a gym.
Yeah, exactly. So she'd attack my kidnapper.
Yep. And when this all turns to shit, I'm going to want the most richest guy in the film. I'm going to take Bob Callahan, John Hamm's character.
Oh, burn. That was my third one. Oh. So I think in that case, my third choice would be Chili. I think he'd be able to put up a good smoke screen or something like that. He seems very unassuming, but you just never know.
True, that's a good answer. Cool. And finally, question number 10.
What top 10 list would you have this movie on?
I would have this on the top 10 performances by Ed Helms.
Yeah, it was quite good, eh? I was worried at the start that it would be just the same from The Hangover, the boring dentist character.
Yes,
but he was
totally
more evolved than that in this movie, and he was quite intriguing.
We saw an emotional depth from him that you don't normally see from characters in these films. What about you, Stace?
This is going in a top 10 of movies with a really good cast that just don't cut it for me.
Blasphemy. That's true, but I respectively disagree with you because this movie's fucking awesome. And now we're awkwardly staring at each other.
Yeah, we're having a bit of a stare off here. So that brings us down to the wrap up of tag. So anything else to say before we move on to our second movie?
Yes, you're it.
Damn it. And my final wrap up is, you don't grow old because you stop playing. No, hang on. Yeah, you don't stop.
Right.
You don't stop playing because you grow old. You grow old because you stop playing.
Aww.
Yeah, I think that was basically the highlight of the movie. It was quite a sweet sentiment.
Okay, so that's tag done and dusted. Moves us on to the next film, I Feel Pretty. We're going to do the same 10 questions and apply it to this film. I Feel Pretty has a score on IMDb of 5.3 out of 10, and it has a Metacritic score of 47%. Now, Stacey, what would you give the film I Feel Pretty as a score out of 10,000?
3,333.
Less than tag.
Yep.
I am going to give this a score of 1. First time in movie reviews in 20Q's history, I literally am giving it the minimum score applicable to a film.
You think this is worse than Suicide Squad?
Yes.
Whoa.
Unofficially, I didn't give The Notebook a score out of 10,000. I'd still give The Notebook, you know, at least a couple of thousand. This, I'm giving it a score of 1.
Wow. I can't wait to hear your compliment sandwich, Sam. It might be really have a lot of fillings, this movie, but not much holding it in.
Every Friday, I sit down and watch a horror movie. This was the most horrific Friday movie I've watched in my entire life.
I can tell by the look on your face. Normally, when you're watching your horror movies, you're just chilling, you're just watching them, but not with this one. Your face was saying it all.
Anywho, I'm going to soldier through this. What is the plot for the film I Feel Pretty, Stacey?
Okay, for people who don't want to watch this, and that should be everybody, a woman who struggles with feelings of insecurity and inadequacy on a daily basis wakes from a fall believing she is suddenly the most beautiful and capable woman on the planet. With this newfound confidence, she is empowered to live her life fearlessly and flawlessly. But what will happen when she realizes her appearance never changed?
Fuck.
I don't actually think that's the plot. I actually think it's a woman wakes from a fall, the bitchiest, most heinous woman on earth.
Yeah, she comes out a complete scumbag.
Yeah. Anyway, Sam, let's kick us off. Why don't you kick us off with the first compliment sandwich?
Do I have...
Yes, you have to. Three things. Come on.
Okay.
One good, one bad, one good.
One good thing about this film, and I'm clutching at straws here, is that there is a guy who runs a bar that has a bikini competition for $500 on just like a Tuesday after, or it's like a Saturday afternoon or something like that. It's not even like a big thing, and she immediately goes in it. He's got like a couple of decent lines, and Busy Phillips and Lauren Hutton are quite funny. Like, they're good actresses. I like them. And Michelle Williams is way too, gives, no one told you Michelle Williams, she was in such a shitty film. She gives a great performance.
I 100% agree.
Michelle Williams is good all the time. That's it. My bad thing is, where to start, really? I just did not enjoy this film at all. There was nothing I felt redeemable about this film. It was just horrendous.
Okay, and one final good thing?
The final good thing is that, amazingly for a comedy, this has a runtime of 1 hour 51 minutes. And the good thing is, it's not 1 hour 52 minutes, or 53 minutes, or 54 minutes, or something like that. That's the best thing about this film, is that it's not fucking longer.
You don't think they could have extended any scenes? Do you want to watch the
They could have put some jokes in it. That would have been interesting.
They could have extended it with jokes. They could have padded it out a bit with some jokes.
Okay, no, actually, that goes it. The worst thing about this film for me is that she hits her head and then she's convinced that she's completely different looks, all that sort of stuff. And at no point does anybody get a chance to say anything funny to her or to comment on her or anything like that. Like, every single person that she meets, it's the same joke over and over again. Like, do you even know what you look like? Oh, you're ugly. Oh, what are you doing here? Oh, you're horrendous. Oh. It's like every single person's walking around New York and just hates this woman, inexplicably hates this woman. Although when she gets her head hit, I can see why they hate this woman. It's insane. Like, it's insane. And like, no one else, that's the other part too, is no one else has any comedy to work with. Amy Schumer has apparently all the comedic lines. Everyone else is just there to be a mirror of, ugh, but you're not even pretty. Why would you think you're interesting or cool or attractive? That is every other character's motivation. Every other single character.
Okay, so my compliment sandwich is one good thing. You already mentioned it, and I 1,000% agree. Michelle Williams knocked it out of the park. Her character in this movie was very bizarre and weird, but she really pulled it off, and she brought a bit of class to the movie.
Michelle Williams is easily one of the best actresses working today.
Agreed. The bad thing is, I don't know how to put this into words. But I am so disappointed. Like, as a female, I love the premise of this movie.
Yeah.
Every female in the entire world has insecurities and feels inadequate in some ways. However, this movie just didn't, it could have taken that topic and elevated it and treated it really intelligently and had some smart wit and humor and really made a big punch and an impact in the world. But it just didn't. It just fell flat. It felt to me like it just sagged down with all of those horrible, nasty, bitchy people and society and the way it views females and all of that stuff.
It's almost like they could have used her to empower women to be like, hey, I actually am pretty.
Yeah, and I can be fearless and a great person.
And other people around me can be like, wow, you're really confident now. Or, wow, you're really cool and upbeat. And what's happened to you? What's your secret sort of thing? And it could have like actually said something about society. Like, hey, if we stop giving a shit about all our tiny insecurities, we can accomplish anything.
Exactly.
And on the flip side, even like Emily Ratajkowski's character, there was like some little semblance there of like, oh, you know, some guy's broken up with me. Sort of thing.
Mm.
And it's like, you know, look, everyone's got insecurities. We've all got downfalls. We've all got problems. You know, we've got phobias, all that sort of shit. It could have done that. Instead, it did this.
Did this.
Which was take a shit and then press it into a DVD player. And play it for me on a Saturday night. And it was funny because I remember you looking at me and going, you're right. And I was like, I'm trying to work out who this movie's made for.
Yes, I agree with you. Who is this movie made for? And my final good thing is I actually really liked the actor who played Ethan, Rory Scovell. So this movie...
Yeah, that's a good point. He was all right.
This movie introduced me to a new actor that I didn't know about before.
Cool. So question number two. What object from this film would you definitely want or not want to be?
I would not want to be her, the white dress that she took to the dry cleaners.
Oh, that's a good pick.
Where the dry cleaner professed quite loudly that he could not get her red wine vomit stain out of it.
Yeah.
So here you go. Have it back.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that thing's been wrecked.
What about you?
I wouldn't want to be the seat on the... at the cycling class that breaks.
Yeah, or which time? The time where she bruises her vagina and then she goes back to the class and then smashes her head on it?
Yeah, I think I'd be cursed. I'm pretty sure that machine isn't long for the world and I'd be getting thrown in the scrap heap. That thing is broken. It doesn't have a very good life. It's getting destroyed by a normal-sized woman.
Yes.
So I'm thinking I'm very defective and faulty. And I would be getting wrecked.
Question three. What character just clearly needs to get laid?
I'm going to go with Tom Hopper's character.
Damn it! That was my answer.
I see you eyeing that up on the screen in front of us. Tom Hopper's character, who plays Michelle Williams, the fashionista's brother. And he's just a grumpy bastard who just, I don't know, I feel like he had a lot more in this film, but they've cut out a lot of it. Because I feel like he was supposed to be the villain, but he's not really that villainous. I don't know.
He didn't make a lot of sense. Grant Leclerc is his character name in the movie. And he's good looking from a really wealthy and famous and influential family. I mean, he should be getting laid. So I'm going to go with somebody who potentially isn't. But it would be really nice if he did, for his own sake. And that's Mason.
Oh, Mason was the man.
The IT guy, or the AV dude, or whatever he was.
Actually, he was a real creep.
Who worked with Amy Schumer's character down in the basement before she got transferred up into the fancy corporate head office. I feel that maybe if he got out a bit more, and I don't know where I'm going, that's just my answer.
In the film, did he say he got laid? And then she was like, congrats, good for you. And he was like, there was no one there or something like that. Like he made a masturbation joke or something, didn't he?
I don't know.
Moving on to the next question. If you were a recruitment consultant, what job would this movie be suitable for?
You know, I'm going to give this movie a job and it's going to be punishment for Sam.
What?
So anytime I feel that you've broken the rules, done something wrong, need to be punished for something, I'm going to put this movie on, tape your eyes open and tie you up and make you watch it.
How long after you marry someone can you get an annulment?
Oh, I'm just laughing thinking about that. That's so funny.
You sadistic mother flipper.
Well, you've made me watch a lot of questionable movies, so you know.
I think you owe me at the moment. I'm going to go with a parking inspector. Someone that goes around and body gives you fines because you hate them anyway, so it's easy to hate this film. Makes sense.
Okay. Interesting angle.
Yeah, parking warden. Why not?
Sure. Question five. Which subplot from the movie would make an awesome spin-off?
None of it. Next. No, I'm kidding. Okay, I want to see more of the guy that runs the bar that has bikini competitions in the middle of the afternoon on a Saturday with no thoroughfare or announcements or something. He has this annual bikini competition at like the most random time, not like on a Saturday night or anything like that, or Friday night. Just so I think that guy lives a pretty interesting life.
Okay, so my spin-off is going to be the Vivian and Jane spin-off movie. I want to see how their see how their group of dates went and what transpired with those guys after old bitchy McBitchface left them to it.
Bitchy McBitchface.
that's what she was. They look like funny, fun girls, and those guys look pretty interesting. He had a nice scarf.
That's an interesting question, though, as well, is what happened to the third guy in that group of eight? Think about it.
He just dropped off.
Yeah, just see you later. Poor dude. Anywho, number six. What deep philosophical debate arose in you during this film?
Why did this massive multinational fashion company have an offshoot office in a basement with two people in it?
Yes.
What a complete waste of time. They could have had them in the basement at their existing building.
Yeah. And two people to run the IT side of a massive company.
Weird.
One of which does, well, both of them don't really do any work.
Yeah. Right. What was your philosophical debate, Sam?
How could this film be better?
And what was your debate sides? What were your pros and cons?
Look, I don't want to be too mean about this film. Like, a lot of people have invested a lot of time and money and effort going into making this film. It's just not for me, and that's my own opinion on this film. Yeah, that was my deep philosophical debate, is how much could be changed to the film in order to make it good?
Actually, not a lot. Like, they were so close. Like, the premise could have been quite funny. They could have given some comedic lines to some other characters,
Changed
the lead actress, dealt with it more intelligently, and could have dragged it over the line.
Yeah. That was the other thing that pissed me off the most about this film. This and Happy Death Day basically acknowledged that they are somewhat ripoffs of other films. In Happy Death Day, at the end of the film, he's like, have you seen Groundhog Day? And she's like, no, what's that film? And it's like, well, yeah, this was Groundhog Day, but a horror movie. And in this film, she actually watches Big, where the character in Big wishes he was Big, an adult, and then goes out and has some magic happen. She then does the exact same thing, goes out and tries to have the magic happen, and then she magically has it happen to her, and then she...
And
but
they...
just because you've spoken to it, just because you're like, hey, yeah, we know, hey, wink, wink, ha, ha, ha. That doesn't excuse it.
You know what would have made it more interesting is if it was more like a Freaky Friday where she swapped bodies with the other model chick at the Soul Cycle.
Oh, the Emily Ratajkowski.
That actually could have been more interesting.
Yeah, that would have been awesome. What about, listen, just hear me out. What about a film where the main character's a guy and he's like a bit of a womanizer, you know, like imagine like a Mel Gibson type or something like that, but then he has something magical happen to him and then he can hear women's thoughts. So he knows exactly what women are thinking. It's like he knows what women want. Imagine that as a film.
Oh, I can't imagine, Sam. That's just crazy.
And imagine that. Imagine that, like, he loses the ability at the end and then he discovers everything that was in him was all along, and he also works for an advertising company. Imagine that. Imagine if he's trying to get the big job and then he does it with a Hail Mary pass. Imagine, holy shit, this movie ripped off What Would Women Want?
This movie actually ripped off a lot of movies.
And another bad thing, this film.
Okay, this is not 10 or 20 or 30 movie. Seven, what quote from this movie would be the worst thing to say after having sex?
I can eat whatever I want and still look like this.
I'm not sure you know what a sneak peek means.
Yeah, both of those would be a little bit weird.
Agreed.
Okay, question number eight. For the first time in my history, I think I'm reading out this question. How would you incorporate Nicolas Cage A, B, C, D, E into this film?
Okay, so she falls off the bike at Soul Cycle, hits her head, and wakes up. Instead of looking in the mirror and going, oh, I'm beautiful, she's channeling Nicolas Cage and she says, I'm a vampire!
What the hell? And that's going to give me nightmares for the next 17 lifetimes. That's a great answer. I don't even think I'm going to top that. I'm just going to skip to the next question.
Question nine. What three characters would you want to help rescue you from a kidnapper?
I'm going to go with Grant Leclerc, the boss's brother.
He's a
bit of an arrogant shithead. He looks like he works out. He looks quite ripped and has quite good muscle.
And he's got money, so he could pay for awesome. You to get up.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. Hi, hello. And I'd also go with Mason. Now, the thing for me is Mason's an IT genius, and so he'd be able to track down the kidnappers and work out where they are. He'd be the guy in the chair, like Ned in Spider-Man Homecoming. He's the man in the chair.
Yeah, watching porn while everyone's out there doing stuff.
Yeah, well, that's probably what I'd be doing if one of my friends got kidnapped. And then finally, I'd pick Renee Bennett. I'd pick the main character, Amy Schumer. I'd want her to come rescue me after she's sustained the first head injury, when she's a when she's a complete and utter psychopath. That's the one I want.
Okay, so her new love interest, Ethan, and her best friends, Vivian and Jane, they are just lovely, kind-hearted people, and they would come and get you.
Yeah, I don't reckon they'd be too good at rescuing you, though.
Why not? Oh, a bit disorganized, probably.
Yeah, I don't think they'd be really good at beating anybody up. And the final question is, what top 10 list would you have this movie on?
Okay, this is going on the top 10 list of movies who has the opposite effect of what they are aiming to achieve, right? All right. So as a female, starting to watch this movie and knowing what the topic was, I thought, great, I'm going to feel empowered. This is going to be an interesting message about it's what's on the inside that matters rather than looks and things. However, it actually made me feel worse, and it made me feel sorry for everybody in this movie. It made me feel sad that there are people out there, like normal looking people who, you know, think they're ugly and stuff.
Yeah, that's true. I would have this on a list of top 10 films where there is a great performance by one of the actors, but the film is otherwise crap, otherwise rubbish. Not for me. As I mentioned, Michelle Williams gives a great performance, and it's quite timely because we reviewed The Predator recently, and the same thing happened there. Jacob Tremblay gave an amazing performance as a kid. One of the Predator dogs also gave quite a good performance. Stacey's looking at me, she's forgotten that movie.
Although they were underdeveloped as character, they still put on a good performance.
That's true. Anywho, that takes us down to the end of the podcast. Thank you everyone for listening as we went through these two films, Tag and I Feel Pretty. Let's never talk about these films again.
Agreed.
Have you got anything else you'd like to say before we end this podcast, Ace?
Send in movie suggestions, because as you can see, we're scraping the bottom of the barrel with these. We're wanting something a bit fresh and different, and something that you actually want to hear about, and potentially we could have some interesting conversations about.
That is correct. Now, where can people find us if they want to get in touch?
They can get in touch with us via Twitter at Movie Reviews In, or send us an email directly, mritqs@gmail.com, or hit us on our Facebook page, Movie Reviews and 20 Qs, and that's about it.
Yeah, apologies to all those couple of thousand people that emailed me, and I haven't been checking the emails lately.
Okay, well, you better get on to that.
No, it's mostly just hate mail.
Oh yeah, straight to junk.
Yeah. And yeah, that's pretty much thanks for me. Upcoming films that we're going to be doing is Commando. Me, Machu and Spanky are going to do Machu's favourite film. Also going to do Mad Max Fury Road. We've been waiting to do this for a while, and me, Stace and Spanky are going to do it. Really looking forward to that. And yeah, that's pretty much thanks for me. Fun fact of trivia about this podcast, I've recorded this while naked. Thank you.
It's true. Goodbye.
Well, we couldn't get in three people, but just like my sex life, it's always better when you've got at least one. It's Stacey. How are you, Stacey?
Don't you mean at least two?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
I think we could be here quite some time before either of us thinks of an answer.
Hello, good people, and welcome to the podcast Movie Reviews in 20 Qs.
Too mumbly. Oh, the vampire!